Last Monday, I went to Bynumville. It's about 15 miles north of Salisbury on Highway 129. In Salisbury, I passed Crown Implement, and there's also a John Deere Implement dealership there. And new tractors run $100,000 to $250,000, maybe more. I'm an old geezer who, even a year ago, only spent $5,000 for an older model white Field Boss tractor. Still runs great. I have three Minneapolis Moline tractors I spent under $3,000 for. They're not as old as me, but close. They're probably 60-plus years old. They have no creature comforts, but I can do all the repair work on them myself. There's still a lot of us farming that way, but we are aging and not big operators. We farm 100 to 500 acres, not acreages in the thousands of acres. Just west of Bynumville lives Danny Birch of Danny's Repair. His is an aging Minneapolis Moline dealership, a tractor no longer built. I think he's got an interesting story to tell us. So, Danny, how old were you when you started Danny's Repair?
Oh, my, let's see. Actually, when I first started, I was about 12 years old.
Wow.
In small engines.
Was that there at the shop at Bynumville?
No. Okay. No, that was here on the farm.
On the farm.
In an old building on the other side of the barn.
Yeah. And you probably got to do that after the chores were done on the farm.
Yes, sir.
Why did you eventually get into Minneapolis Molines?
Well, we bought a brand new one in 69, and I got to pick out the brand new tractor, and that's the one I liked. So from there on, it went.
Wow. When was the first Moline built, do you think?
Well, the first... Actually, the first Moline tractor goes clear back into the early 1900s. Moline plow goes clear back into the 1800s. Hmm. And when they built plows and things like that, then they came out with the Moline Universal back in the early 1900s. And then they merged with Minneapolis Steel and Minneapolis Threshing in 1929 to form Minneapolis Moline.
When do you think the last tractor was built with the title Minneapolis Moline?
Well, that would have been 1970. Well, whoa, wait a minute. That would have been actually 1973 or 4.
Huh.
Yeah. Just before the 2150 white come out.
You won't be able to answer this. Can you guess how many Minneapolis Moline tractors were built?
This is very, very difficult. They weren't built anywhere in proportion to what International, Case, or John Deere were, but still, there was a lot of them out there. I would say easily, we're going to be getting up into the 100,000s.
Yeah, I was going to say 100,000s.
Easily.
Yeah. Why do you think it fell apart? Why no longer a Minneapolis Moline?
Well, it just kind of is just like anything that goes on nowadays. What's happening then, one company was bought out another one through either a corporate type takeover where they bought up excessive stock, which was what happened with Minneapolis Moline. Company got in, White got in there and bought up controlling interest. Next thing you know, they controlled the company, put it together with Oliver and Coxsut. And you had White Farm Equipment.
Yeah.
And that really is what happened to them.
Yeah. So what all do you do in your business here? I know parts, because that's what I always come
right now, where we used to do complete engine stuff like that, I still do some, but it's more like component rebuilding now. Mm-hmm. More like rebuilding the cylinder heads and the component parts for the tractors, like the hydraulic valvings, hydraulic pumps, stuff like that. People are sending me from all over the country.
Is there anyone else doing the same thing you are with Molines?
Very few of us across the country.
Yeah.
There's probably, there's some in different degrees of it than what I'm in. But as far as many of us, we're dwindling down every year.
Yeah.
Every year we lose somebody across the country, you know, that's either retiring or they pass on.
Where do your parts actually come from? Several sources?
More like 200 different sources.
Wow. And your parts, do any of them go outside the United States?
Yes, sir.
Just Canada or elsewhere too?
Canada, the Netherlands, Australia, UK, all over.
How long do you think parts will still be available? Is there a limited time frame or not?
Up until these last couple years, I would have said that it probably could be getting better. These past couple years has really been telling a tale. A lot of companies that were going to go back into building some now have second thoughts. So the future is questionable.
Yeah.
We don't know.
Do you find tractors for people? Is that all, at all? Are you a middleman for that sort of thing?
Not so much. I just kind of try to get two people together sometimes.
For a while you were selling other implements, but that's probably not happening anymore.
Not anymore. Yeah. I was a Vermeer dealer. I sold Pioneer Partner chainsaws and probably still would if they'd still be making them.
Yeah.
Because I did like those and still use them today. But otherwise, beyond that, I did sell the Swedzer mowers at one time, but got out of the hay equipment and that stuff quite a while back.
Yeah. Where were Minneapolis Moline's tractors built? Was it all in one place?
Basically, all up there in Minnesota, and most of the tractors were assembled at Hopkins, which is a subsidy of Minneapolis.
I see.
The rest of the harvesting equipment, and that was at the Lake Street plant in Minneapolis.
What all kind of was their line? I remember Dad's lettered U Moline. Was there something before the lettered tractors?
Well, they go back to the predecessor brands, your Twin Cities.
Okay.
Which, as you know, you get into your different models, you know, like a Twin City 60, okay, and those like a 1728 or 1730 Minneapolis, and you know, then they went to the lettered ones when they basically incorporated together. But before that, they were probably all numbered.
What were the highest horsepower in the lettered tractors?
Well, the lettered tractor horsepower ones would be the G6.
Okay. And how many horsepower was it?
It was right around 100 horse.
Okay. I've got two 670s. When were they built, do you think?
Well, the 670, the straight 670 like you have, was built around 1964.
Okay.
And they continued in production for a couple years till they come out in 66, late 66, with the 670 Super.
Was the majority of the 670s LP, or were there a lot of gas also?
There was actually more gasoline.
Okay.
Then LP, and then the balance of diesels.
What was the biggest Minneapolis Moline horsepower-wise built?
Well, that would have been, when you get into that, would have been your A4T series, which would have been the articulated four-wheel drive, which had the 585 engine that came out with 135 stock horse.
Wow.
That can easily have up to 180 horse, depending upon how they're put together. Then they also got to put in the 800 cubic inch LP gas engine in, which was stock rated at 250 horse.
Wow. Wow, I didn't realize they got that big.
Yeah.
Did Moline for a while do combines and corn pickers?
Way back there. Okay. The true Moline corn picker and combine and that was basically discontinued in the early 60s. Then the combines were built in the Coxsut plant in Brantford, Ontario, Canada, and they came out under all three names and colors.
Mm-hmm. You started with the shop in Bynumville. I remember that.
I started here.
Oh, really?
With the old one in Small Engines.
Huh.
Then I came in this one that we're in now.
Yeah.
Then I went to Bynumville.
Okay. Huh. What was the attraction to Bynumville? Was there a pool hall you'd go to for lunch? Or?
Well, no. Two things. Blacktop location and a shop with a grease hoist.
Wow.
Where I could, you know, where to get into automotive,
right.
Bigger building to fix up, which the building I moved in over there at one time back in the 50s was a Pontiac dealership where they sold new Pontiac cars.
Wow. Bynumville was quite the going place then.
At one time.
They don't have a bank still, do they?
Nothing left anymore.
Post office?
Nothing left. The post office left many years ago. At one time, and this was before my time, they had a theater there. They had a jewelry store. They had everything there at one time.
Yeah, I tell people I'm going up to Bynumville, and they just scratch their head, Bynumville, where's that?
Yep.
So did you build this shed, or was this something your dad put together at the shop?
No, I had this building built.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you threw the hammer around a little bit.
No, not too much. No, okay. this building was put up by Raymond Boss from Bossville Wholesalers many years ago.
And you heat it with wood and fat from Taco Bell?
Well, old used cooking oil, engine oil, wood, whatever I throw in it.
Uh-huh. So I'm 74, Danny. I don't have to ask you how old you are. I think you're a sprout compared to me, maybe.
Not really. I'm going to be 66.
Okay, yeah, you're a sprout.
No, I'm a long way from a sprout. I can guarantee you that.
Do you see yourself another 10 years? Or I'm going to throw in the towel before that.
I probably will throw in the towel the day I go under the ground.
Okay. I could have guessed that, too.
I've always got to play with old tractors.
Right. Tell me about your farm just a little bit. What all do you do here on the farm?
Oh, I don't farm very much at all. Just enough to get out and run the old tractor some, have a few cattle, bale some hay, put out some spelts, plant some milo so I can feed the animals on the place, and that's about it.
Yeah. You know, we like to think that this is what I did, and this is what all I have done, and we forget that we really don't do anything or accomplish anything without a lot of help from people around us.
Oh, sure.
And you're a big part of what I've accomplished, and I wouldn't have gotten nothing done if it wasn't for you keeping my tractors going. And
Now that is a two-way street, because I couldn't be here without people like you. So there.
Okay. Well, I guess we can thank each other then.
Yes.
And you're one of my top heroes. And here's a happy 2023, and I pray that it'll be a healthy one for you and that you'll make some money.
I try to. Nowadays, it's harder than it was, but... But we're still going.
Thanks a lot for the time, Danny.
No problem, sir.